Let's just pray before we begin. Let's just pray. Father, again, we thank you for Calvary. We thank you that Jesus died for us. And we thank you for the privilege of being a child of God. We take these things for granted. What a joy, Lord, to know that we are saved and we have a hope in Jesus Christ. And Father, Lord, we know that as we live out this life, it's a battle. And therefore, we pray that you would encourage us this evening from your word so that we may be more equipped to face this battle. Lord, fill us with your spirit and pray, God, that you would work in our hearts effectually this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. When I became a Christian, I realized that there were pupils who were at my school that had also become Christians independently of me. And there was one lad who was 2 years older than me, and I knew him from school. He had become a Christian, and there was another lad who was in my class, and he became a Christian as well. So we formed a very strong friendship, and we worshipped at different churches, similar type of churches, and we were loyal to our churches, but from time to time, we would get together. There was another friend. Now, he had come from a very difficult background, but he came to the Lord, and he got married to a sister who had four children from previous relationships. And now that their lives had changed, there were new creations in Christ, and this was a fresh start for them. But this friend had a massive weakness. He was very lazy when it came to spiritual things and when it came to church. He also had issues with excessive drinking and also smoking as well. Every time I would see him, he'd say to me, "Oh, I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to give up drinking. I know it's a weakness. And I will start going to church seriously from next Sunday." He was sincere. He meant well. But he just could not overcome this weakness. Then I moved to Birmingham. And he was living in Wolverhampton, where I was born and bred. And many years had gone by, and then I was visiting my mom in Wolverhampton. I used to go and see her every Sunday after the evening service, and I would stay there on the Monday and just do her shopping and look after her. And then I was walking down the road, and I saw him, and he saw me after many, many years. And the first thing he said to me, he said, "Oh, look at you, you've become like me. You've lost all your hair." The ministry makes you lose your hair. But he told me that he had split up with his wife and he was now living elsewhere. And he said to me again, "I need to get back to the Lord. I'll start going to church. I'm going to start soon. Tomorrow." And tomorrow never came. He ended up in a terrible state because he gave in to his weakness. And he was never able to defeat these weaknesses. This evening, I want to look at a man from the Bible. His name was Samson. You may be familiar with him. Samson was greatly used of God, but his life was ruined and destroyed because he had a massive, massive weakness. Samson was a strong man with a great weakness. That is the title of the sermon this evening. Samson was a strong man with a great weakness. He was physically very strong. He was powerful. The Bible tells us he killed a lion with his bare hands. He slaughtered 30 Philistines. He defeated 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. He was strong in battle. He defeated people in battle. But he could not defeat this weakness. And this led to his downfall and eventually to his destruction and death. Because Samson was a strong man with a great weakness. What are our weaknesses? We all have weaknesses, don't we? Where are we particularly vulnerable? What is it that Satan loves to attack us on? He knows, doesn't he? He knows our weaknesses. What does he love to exploit? Is it selfishness? Is it pride? Is it greed? Is it ambition? Is it your career? Are you a workaholic? So that you spend no time with your family or very little time with your family and very little time in the things of God? Is it laziness? We're just too idle to engage in any type of spiritual devotion or service. Is it alcohol? Is that your downfall? Is it anger? Do you have a violent, uncontrollable, explosive anger? And you end up lashing out at people, and it leads to bad language, and you put people down. Is it jealousy? Is that a problem for you? Are you like Saul? It destroyed him. Is it gossip? Are we always itching to get the latest news? Bad news, or we like to talk badly about people. Is it an unforgiving spirit? An unforgiving heart? Someone's hurt you really, really badly, and you just cannot forgive. And every time you see them, you have this horrible feeling inside. We say hello, how are you? We talk politely. But inside, we just cannot forgive. We just think of that thing and we can't let go. Is it stealing? No, we don't go to the shop and steal, do we? We're Christians. But is it avoiding paying our taxes, our bills? Is it lying? Are you a compulsive liar? You have to lie? Or if we are cornered and we're stuck, and to get out of the corner, we have to tell a lie, a white lie, to defend ourselves? Is it cheating? Because we like to look better than what we are? Is it hypocrisy? Is it bad language? Is it an uncontrollable tongue? James says it's like a fire that can be set on fire by hell. Is it gambling? Is it coveting? We see people and we want, what they have. We long for it. What is it? Maybe it's something completely different. I've not mentioned it. What is our weakness? What was Samson's great weakness? His weakness was lust. Lust for women. Is that your weakness? Is it lust? Are you addicted to porn? Is it some other type of addiction? Gambling, I've already mentioned. Maybe your phone? Is that an addiction? Samson had a great weakness, and this weakness was like a magnetic force which pulled him and took him away from God. What has a pull on us? What do we find uncontrollable? And once we've sinned, we've done this thing, we feel bad, we feel guilty, we feel horrible. But then the temptation comes again and we do it again and again and again. What is this besetting habitual sin? Samson was a strong man, but he had a great weakness. Samson lived in the time of the judges. I'm not preaching on judges because my name is Judgy. But he lived in the time of judges, and the time of judges was a very dark period in the life of Israel spiritually. If you look at the very last verse in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 21, this verse, I think, is mentioned three times, or three times, I think. I'm not sure. It says this: in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That sums up the period of the judges. There was no king. Everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. They weren't doing what was right in God's eyes, but they were doing what was right in their own eyes. It's a bit like today, isn't it? Everybody's doing what is right in their own eyes. This was the state of Israel, God's people. Instead of following God, they followed the path of the pagan gods of the nations around them, like we saw this morning. And God would punish them. He allowed other groups, nations, to come and conquer them, and they suffered. And then they would cry out to God. They would repent and ask for mercy and ask God to help them. And then God would raise a judge. A judge is not what we think it is today, someone with a funny wig on their head. Judges were military figures, leaders, who would come, God would raise them and deliver them, and then there would be a time of peace once again. But the same thing happened again. Then they would sin again, and they would cry out to God, and God would raise a judge. So this is what was happening in the time of the judges. And God would use Samson as a military leader to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. But there were flaws in his life. There were flaws in his character. He was not perfect. He was a strong man, but he had a great weakness. Now, with Samson, you could look at his life, and it's based around three women. So that is what I want to do. I want to look at these three women one by one. And I want to look at how this weakness plays out. The first woman in his life was his wife. It was his wife. If you look at Judges chapter 14 and verse 1, it says this. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Can you see here? The emphasis is on he saw her. It was this outward attraction. There's nothing spiritual about this woman. There's no inner beauty of the heart. She's not a godly woman. She's a Philistine. She doesn't even believe in the God of Israel. In verse 3, his parents tell him not to marry her because she's not part of God's people. But he doesn't listen. He just says to them in chapter 14, verse 3 at the end, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Can you see here? He's demanding, I don't care. Bring her to me. I want her. This I don't care attitude. In verse 7, it says she pleased Samson. Again, can you see? It's this outward attraction. It's appealing to his weaknesses. Samson is obsessed by this woman. A madness comes over him. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what his parents are saying. He doesn't care what God is saying. No, his focus, his attention is taken up completely by this woman. He gives in to his weaknesses. When our weaknesses are stirred, suddenly we forget everything. There's a madness that comes over us. God goes out the window. Our theology goes out the window. Everything we've learned goes out the window. We forget everything. Nothing else seems to matter. This obsession takes control, and it controls our thinking. It controls our actions. It controls our wills. We become like drug addicts. There's this craving, and it must be satisfied. And we will not let go until we are fed this drug. There's that greed. There's that temptation to lie. There's that jealousy that burns inside. There's that violent temper. We don't care. There's that urge to covet and to spend and to spend and to spend, even though we don't need things. We have a neighbor. I work from home. And every day I get a parcel for her from Amazon. She works away. And one day I said to her, I said, you like your Amazon parcels? She said, yes, it's good therapy. You know, just shopping online. Not because we need things, but because it's good therapy. See, this weakness, it can be obsessive. There's this craving, this lust, this longing for drink and to get drunk. What was the result of Samson's lust? After some time, Samson went to Timnah for the wedding, and there he had a feast. I won't read all the verses because of time, but you can look it up afterwards. That's in verse 10. So there's a feast for the Philistines. And a riddle is posed, verse 12. And if the Philistines solved the riddle in 7 days, he would give them clothes, and if not, then he would have to give them clothes. That's chapter 14, verse 13. So the Philistines, chapter 14, verse 15, forced his wife to tell them the answer. Otherwise, they said, we're going to burn down your house, the father's house. That's verse 15. Rather than go and tell her husband, she's an ungodly woman, she presses him, and she presses him, and she nags him, and she nags him. Chapter 14 and verse 16, she says this, it says this, then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me, you do not love me, you have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. She goes on and on. Verse 17, she wept and pressed him so much that Samson told her the answer. And then she went and told the people. Samson became angry. And in chapter 4, verse 19, he killed 30 men and left his wife with the father. And the father gives the wife to somebody else. This transpires later. Samson then later goes to get her, but he discovers that she's been given away. Later, Samson, chapter 15, verse 3, burns the crops of the Philistines. In turn, the Philistines burn his wife and the father's, and the father, chapter 15, verse 6. In revenge, Samson kills many of them. In chapter 15, verse 15, later, he kills 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. Can you see the chaos, the destruction, the confusion? Everybody's doing what is right in their own eyes. Now, what we must realize is that despite Samson's errors and despite Samson's sin, God nevertheless was sovereign in all of this and is using Samson to defeat the Philistines. Now, this does not excuse his lust or his revengeful spirit or his self-centeredness. It's like saying, when somebody sins, they sin against me. It doesn't excuse their sin. But through that sin, God can, in his sovereignty, use that sin even to teach me things. The point is, Samson's weakness led to violence. And more violence. And death. And destruction. Our weaknesses may not have such consequences, but when we yield to them, there's always heartache and there's pain. What a man sows, he shall reap. And it can cause tension and problems in the home, in a marriage, amongst friends. And it seems to me that we are living in a generation where it's very easy to live a double life and to be deceptive. Recently, I've been dealing with someone, and this is a married couple, and the wife absolutely adored her husband. She would say to her relatives and her friends, I have the best husband in the world. But behind the scenes, he was unfaithful. He had a problem with lust. And this carried on for years and years and years. Right from the beginning of their marriage. And it led to the wife almost killing him, literally. And it's destroyed their relationship. Sexual sins have become massive in our generation. Things have become easier through technology to access. This man was contacting call girls through the technology that he had in his hands. It's very easy, even for us as Christians, to look like ideal Christians, good husbands, good sons and daughters and wives. But there may be a secret life of sin that nobody sees. There may be weaknesses because of technology that we have in our hands. And it's easier for us, easier to access these things. It's easy to be in church, and we look like good evangelical Christians, but behind the scenes, there's this secret life of sin because of our weakness. It's like a fisherman who throws in the bait, and the fish see the bait, they see the maggots. It's food for them, it's a weakness for them. And there's this strong temptation, and the fish go for it. But as soon as the fish take the bite, that's it. The fisherman pulls the rod, and they are caught, and they are trapped. Satan knows our weaknesses, and he puts baits everywhere, traps everywhere to trap us and to tempt us. And we can get caught like Samson. He catches us. And it can lead to awful consequences that can be very, very painful. Samson was a strong man, but he had a great weakness. So firstly, Samson's wife. Secondly, Samson and the harlot. Samson and the harlot. After this incident with his wife, Samson ruled for 20 years. If you look at chapter 15 and verse 20, it says here, "And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines." Now, it seems as if he ruled faithfully for 20 years. So after this period with his wife, at the end of it says he was there for 20 years. And as I said, it seems as if he ruled faithfully. But then in chapter 16 and verse 1, it says that he saw a harlot. It says, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went in to her." In a moment of weakness after 20 years, it seems, of serving faithfully, he yields to his sin again and he goes into a prostitute. There's a really important lesson for us here and for our weakness. When we become Christians, there are some sins that may disappear very quickly. When I became a Christian, I had an issue with drinking, and that went immediately. There was no issue. Bad language, that went very quickly. But there are some sins, besetting sins, that we may struggle with. They may not be outward, they may not be obvious, they're inward, they're hidden, but they're great weaknesses. And they could be a problem for us from the day we are converted. 10 years on, they're still a problem to us. 20 years on, they're still a problem. Today, they're still a problem. And they will be still a problem if we survive 40 years or 50 years. These sins may be asleep. They may be kept quiet as long as we don't feed them. But they will never be completely dead. And given the opportunity and given the chance, they will spring to life once again. But you say, look, how can I defeat these sins? How could I keep these weaknesses quiet? Let me just point out three things to you. First of all, recognize your weakness. Don't deny it. Admit it. Don't defend it. Confess it. Repent of it. A good thing to do is to make yourself accountable to a brother or a sister in the church, and you can pray together about these things. That helps. The problem with us is that we are often blind to our weaknesses. We don't want to admit them. But everybody else could see them at times. I know someone, and they struggled with a bad temper. Everybody could see that temper. And you walk on eggshells when you talk to that particular person. And if you tell them, look, you have a problem with anger, they'll say to you, what problem? I don't have a problem with anger. They're totally blind to it. And we can be like that as well. It may not be anger. Anger may be something else. The problem with us is we protect our sins. We love our sins. We want to hide them. We don't want to believe there's a problem. If someone tells us there's a problem, we don't want to believe there's a problem there. But sometimes they are obvious to all. First thing, admit it. Recognize your weakness. Secondly, protect your weakness. Well, we are to protect our weaknesses. Protect your weakness from being aggravated, from being fed by temptation. If you have a broken arm, what do? You protect it, don't you? You don't use it. You don't put any load on it. You have it in a sling. You don't put any weight on it. You keep it protected. You keep it from harm. When it comes to our weaknesses, we need to protect ourselves from those weaknesses. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, that is the things that you do. If they cause you to sin, cut it off. If your feet causes you to sin, that is the places where you go. Cut it off. If your eyes cause you to sin, that is the things that you see. Cut it off. In other words, remove yourself from the temptation. Don't expose yourself to that temptation. If you know that I'm going somewhere and I know I'm going to get tempted, don't go there. My wife and I, we love Cadbury's chocolate. Maybe that's because we live in Birmingham, I don't know. But we love Cadbury's chocolate. I've been to different parts of the world. I've tried chocolates in different countries, but it's just not the same. You can't beat Cadbury's chocolate. But Cadbury's chocolate is not good for us because of our age and cholesterol levels, and we need to reduce our weight. I work from home, so we never buy Cadbury's chocolate. If Cadbury's chocolate was there, I would be in the cupboard every day. I only get tempted once a week. That's when we go shopping. Not every day. You remove the source of the temptation. That's what we need to do with our sin. Don't give it a chance. Don't feed it. Starve it. Kill it. Mortify the deeds of the flesh, says the word of God. So it remains under control, rather than it controlling you. Thirdly, How do we defeat our weaknesses? Stay close to Christ and walk with him. Pray to him. Follow him. You will fail. And when we fail, we repent. And we don't feel sorry for ourselves. Oh, I can't defeat this. Don't have a defeatist attitude. We're going to fail. But like a boxer who's flawed, don't stay down. Get up quickly. Move on. Learn from your mistake. And slowly, as you do these things and as you walk with the Lord, victory will come more and more. This is how we can defeat our weaknesses. So Samson and his wife, Samson and the harlot, and finally Samson and Delilah. This is what Samson is famous for. Songs have been written about this. Samson and Delilah. After the harlot, in chapter 16 and verse 4, it says he fell in love with Delilah. Samson allows his lust to control him again. Delilah lived in the valley of Sorek. Sorek means red grape, so it speaks about pleasure. It speaks about lust. Again, he is blind to his sin. It's taken hold of him. But his enemies, the Philistines, realize his weakness. And they say to Delilah, chapter 16 and verse 5, entice him. Find out where his great strength lies. So Delilah, she pesters him. Chapter 16 and verse 6. Tell me, where does your strength lie? She pesters him again and again, and he fools her. But finally, he yields and gives in to this woman. Because she just doesn't stop. Chapter 16 and verse 15. It says there, chapter 16 and verse 15. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. Verse 16, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart. This is the way of Delilah. He tells her, chapter 16 and verse 17, that his hair had not been cut since birth, because he is a Nazarite, and if his hair is cut, his strength will go. Now, don't misunderstand me. The strength was not in his hair. His strength was in his commitment to God. And he took a vow not to cut his hair. And if he cut his hair as a Nazarite, that means he'd broken his commitment to God. That's when the strength would go. So they cut his hair, chapter 16 and verse 19. And verse 20 says, the Lord departed. Chapter 16, verse 21, they put out his eyes and blinded him. And they put him in a prison, and there he became a grinder. Samson's weakness destroyed him. Can you see? He was a strong man with a great weakness. It ruined him. It could ruin us. He was bound. He was imprisoned. Our weaknesses can imprison us. They can bind us. We need to be careful. We can be victorious, but it requires work and effort and a readiness to say no. As soon as you know this weakness is stirring in your heart, we need to deal with it. Sometimes that'll mean running away like Joseph. He ran away from Potiphar's wife. Sometimes we need to protect this weakness. We need to deal with these things. And although Samson's weakness killed him, God still was victorious and fulfilled his purposes. In chapter 16 and verse 22, in prison, the hair begins to grow again, an indication that his relationship with God was growing. He probably had repented. It's never too late to repent. If we have a weakness, we could make a new start. Then the Philistines gathered together to offer a sacrifice to their God. Chapter 16 and verse 23, in the temple, they called for Samson to make fun of him. There were 3,000 people there, verse 27. And Samson was taken to the pillars of the temple that held the whole temple together. And in chapter 16 and verse 28, he prayed to God to strengthen him for this one last time. And he pushed the pillars apart and the whole temple collapsed. People were killed and he himself was killed. Samson was a strong man, but he was tainted with this great, great weakness. And he never learned to deal with it. And it brought trouble upon him. And in the end, it destroyed him. I pray that we would learn from Samson's mistakes, that we would recognize our weakness before it ruins us. Because as Christians, we can overcome by God's grace, because when we are weak, then in Christ we are strong, and we can do all things, can't we, through Christ who strengthens us. Amen.